Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a wonderful guest today. Therese Tucker is here joining us this week. She is a psychic medium, inner wisdom coach, channel, and intuitive artist. She has dedicated her life to empowering individuals to unearth and harness their innate intuitive wisdom. Therese's unique school of thought blends ancient wisdom with modern insights, guiding her clients towards transformative self-discovery. She firmly believes in the power of intuition as a compass for navigating life's challenges and making decisions aligned with one's true purpose. Welcome to the show, Therese.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you today because you are a psychic medium and a channel, but I wanted to with everybody, I always start at the beginning. Like, how did you know? When did this start? What were the signs?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would say it starts with not knowing. You just think that the way you're experiencing the world is, and you kind of come to find not so normal. So, I mean, earliest memories of spirit are, the typical ones that you hear about, like as a child, seeing people standing in my room, especially in the doorway, always having like a dark shadow sort of in the doorway looking over me. And of course, it caused me to feel very scared. I did not like that feeling. And it went all throughout my childhood. So it was on and off, but it was a very intense experience that I remember just wanting to shut it out. But at the same time, I was really lucky to have a mother who was open to esoteric practices, or she was exploring her own spirituality. She grew up in the Catholic Church, and just it didn't resonate fully for her. And so she was kind of at a point in her life when I was young where she was trying to figure out what felt right, like what was the path for her. And because of that, I got exposed to a lot of things at an early age that were very resonant to me. Like, it all just made sense. I remember going and seeing a psychic when I was about 7 years old and having my cards read. And that's not a typical experience that people have. It was for me, though. So I got to do that. And she metaphysics. And I remember a big turning point for me, age of 15, my mom had started listening to A Course in Miracles and Marianne Williamson. And I remember coming home from school and she had it on while she was making dinner. And I was just, it was like hearing the truth. Somebody say something to you that it clicked so much. It made so much sense. And I just sat down and started listening to these tapes. And I used to take them into my room and put them on and like draw and listen to it. So I've been very attuned to it, but I also remember having a very strong feeling that I somehow didn't have permission to be part of this world. I was very drawn to it and yet still felt like you had to be chosen or somebody, you would know for sure, like someone would tell you mm-hmm. that this is the world you belonged in. And I waited for that for so long. And it wasn't until about, I think 2006 for me, when someone was finally said it out loud, they were like, you know that you're an intuitive, right? Like, you know, this is what you do. And I remember feeling both relieved and then very anxious about that because, well, what, now what do I do? Now that I have permission, how do you use this? Right. And so I've been very lucky that along my path, I've never had formal training where it was like you're going to this school and you're going to, like, they're really, I think there's very few places where that actually exists, maybe in the UK, but not over here, right? So but I've been asked that a lot of teachers lived in when I was in high school, we lived near a cafe where a lot of psychics would come and I'd go get psychic readings, but I'd just sit and hang out with them. And they would also teach me, and they'd, you know, they'd let me know, like, you can do this. And I just remember feeling a lot of insecurity around it for a long time. And then I realized that that was part of what I'm here to teach, was how to claim that power back for yourself and really help people understand that these gifts are not something that's given to a select group of people, but rather intuitive ability is something we're all born with. And many times we don't have someone showing us how we can tap in and what needs to be in place inside of us for us to fully access it. So that's been kind of my life's mission since understanding that in myself and really harnessing it within myself, is how to show other people to do it too.
And I think that's, you know, that's wonderful. One thing that you said, like, there aren't that many schools, you know, that really do teach you, like, here's step one, step two, three, four, and then this occurs and then that occurs, you know, it's
yes,
self-discovery and a lot of trial and error and mistakes and trying to find your people.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that there's been many cultures where these traditions have been passed down orally. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like we need back, is having those oral tradition and the understanding. We've been blocked from it until, you know, I would say definitely recently, within the last, really since 2012, you see the world sort of to access it. So those schools that we wanted when we were growing up, we're the ones creating those schools now, because we both, you know, we recognize this is missing and we need it, and it needs to be accessible to anybody who feels called to learn, you know, or tap into themselves. And so I love seeing people like you who also offer resources so that we can all utilize these gifts, because there's so many ways to tap in to this energy. There's no one right way to do it, but there is something that will be very resonant for each person. And I'm so happy to see that it's so much more accessible now.
It is more accessible now. And I kind of wanted to, I know I'm putting you on the spot by asking you this question, but I am kind of curious, like, why do you think that there has been this massive, I think, shift in consciousness, or at least availability of information when it comes to spirituality? Because I think, like you said, I don't know if 2012 is the defining year, but a lot of people have had that general sentiment, like something has kind of just really changed, because all of a sudden, and you can see this just going to your bookstore, you know, all of a sudden the spirituality section has just grown times 10. And it's like, yeah. Well, what occurred? What happened? Because prior to that, and, you know, I could be very ignorant in this sense, but prior to that, I feel like it was there, but not as obvious as it is now, or available as it is now.
Yeah. So what I hear from my own spirit team around this topic is, 2012 definitely was an activation point. There was definitely activation leading up to it. So I don't mean to claim that before that there was just no resources coming in. There have been resources coming in for a while. In fact, if you're familiar with the work of Dolores Cannon, mm-hmm. I love her, by the way. I find that her work really does cover it well. And you can see the trickling in of energy. And it really does start with those first wave volunteers that she talks about the higher dimensional beings who decided to come into the earth to help anchor and grid the planet with more light, because it needed it. Humanity needed the anchoring, especially, I believe it was the atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. When that went off, that's when the Earth sent out a distress signal and said, help, they're going to ruin this place if we don't get assistance. And then all of us heard that call, and then we came in waves. And so there's that first wave that comes in. I think they start coming in around, you know, the baby boomer era, or like right after the war, you start seeing them. So 1945, let's say, and it starts seeding. And so you see the first wave really in like the summer of love, right? Woodstock in the 1960s. And those are, they represent this first wave of energy of anchoring in higher frequencies on the planet, because humanity is meant to evolve and raise its consciousness and move up higher. Right. And so really, Then comes the second wave, which I believe many of us, like around a certain age, we're in our 30s, 40s, some in their 50s, our second wave. And we're like, in that material, we're called like antennas. Our job is to radiate what we are. and we amplify the frequency on the planet. And then the third wave are like sort of the new earth architects, if you will. They come in and they know exactly how to like expand this energy. So I feel like we've been building a resonance and frequency. Now, in 2012, what I got from my team is that the Earth herself had ascended fully into the fourth density. So now we're vibrating at this fourth density range of consciousness, meaning that as the Earth increases her consciousness, we go with her. And we have the ability to raise up to higher levels of consciousness. And I feel like it's a quickening that sort of happens. Once she goes up, we go up pretty quick because she represents our baseline. And then, of course, you see with the Schumann resonance, which is the heart, the measurement of the heartbeat of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting about that is that 7.85, I believe, is the base frequency for the Earth. That's where its resting rate is. And they have compared it to an EKG of the human brain, and that would represent a sleeping state.
Interesting.
So being asleep. And then in 2016, you really start to see these spikes come in. I remember one of the first big ones we saw was 52 hertz, which puts us like in the gamma brainwave range, which is very high. So she's been waking up and very active. And now I'm sure you watch it too, but you see it all the time. She's spiking all over the place and we're getting these big hits, which means she's not only awake and had her coffee, but she's fully like, she's communicating, she's doing so much. And I think what's happening is it's just picking up. And, you know, the timing of everything, I believe, is divine. And so it's happening in the order that it's supposed to happen in. But I do feel like we are in a period of accelerated consciousness. And I believe we're getting close to what the law of one or Dolores Cannon even would call the graduation point, where we make the jump up into the next level of consciousness.
And what does that next level look like for humanity?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, this is fun because obviously we haven't experienced it yet. So
what is it supposed to look like? Let me ask that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you go there when you are in deep meditation, when you're in that place where you feel that being state and you've got that very centered, but at purely at peace, like no matter what's going on, you feel in your heart when you go in there, this is okay. We're okay. We're good. We're solid. I feel that that's the baseline. Is that, can you imagine being on a plane or at a level of consciousness where the illusion is completely gone because you're so in tune with not only your surroundings, but with the collective consciousness. And you know how to tap into that. You know how, like, if it's like, if I can tap into you and connect with you, then we can change each other's frequency, right? Like, and it's usually whoever's holding the higher frequency, the other one. And so I feel like the baseline is this feeling of all is well. It's a contentment. It's I'm deeply okay. Everything is okay. Would be that base. And then from there, there's many material that talks about the expansion of our consciousness into realms that we at this point would look at as almost superhuman. Like it would be comparable to our superheroes, right? So for example, my team says one of the first tools that really fully comes back online will be telepathy. No more misunderstanding each other because you're fully getting the message, you know. So telepathy isn't just I hear what you're saying in my mind like we see in the movies. Yeah. It's a full experience with the emotional state, with the physical sensations, everything that you need to fully understand where someone is trying to communicate to you, you get back. And I think that that's amazing. Plus, as I understand it, another thing that comes back immediately is all of your former memories. So,
oh, goodness. Oh no.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's a horrible thing.
But I feel like I think there's so much power in knowing who you truly are on a soul level. Mm. And yes, I'm sure we're going to see lifetimes where we're like, you know, like I could have made a better choice there. But I think we'll see it a lot like the choices we've made in our current past where we might not feel so great about it, but we actually have a recognition of, yes, but without that maybe bad choice, I wouldn't be the person I am today because I learned so much from that experience. So having this understanding of who you are, what your mission is, so many people want to know what their purpose is.
Yes. Yeah.
And you get to know, you get to understand what that is. It would be so clear. And wouldn't it be great to have that information? Because then it's so easy to take action because you know exactly why you're taking this action and what it's connected to and what your big plan was all along.
Definitely. And I wonder, you know, many people have this perspective that things that happen on the earth or, you know, events, things happen in cycles, right?
Yes.
Or certain situations always rear their head again. And we can kind of see this, I think, through history. So I kind of wonder, were there points in history, do you think, where Earth kind of reached this point of peace and understanding, but then there was this de-evolution and then there was this jump forward? I kind of wonder if that happens.
You are calling it. You are so right on. Yes, absolutely. So there are cycles of ascension and descension. You're absolutely right. And I can't remember if it's a Vedic calendar that I'm thinking of, but like, for example, I think it comes from, maybe it's the Hindu calendar, but it's the Kali Yuga was the period we just recently left. And that's called like the darkest dark age. It's my team shows me the image of the Middle Ages. And so if you think about this as like a clock, make 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock would represent the golden age. So the top half of the clock is the beautiful golden age. And that's an ascended period. And then from about 4 o'clock is a silver age. And then there's from, I think it's 4 to 5 is a Bronze Age. And then the Lead Age or the Iron Age rather, sorry, at the bottom. And that's the Kali Yuga. So there is, we do go in cycles. We ascend an ascending period and then we have a descending period. So like the Dark Ages, I'm sure represents a literal, you know, Iron Age. And if you look at Atlantis as another one, Atlantis was a period where we reached a golden age. And then after that peak, we started to descend. So Atlantis was a descension cycle. They already had, and so did ancient Egypt. They also had a golden age and then a descent. And how you know when the period is really information. So during a golden age or an ascension cycle, like we're currently in, my team always says, there's nowhere to go but up. We're going up. We're ascending for sure. How do you know? Because information that once was hidden becomes very available. So it becomes available not just to those who are looking, but it becomes obvious, right? So the secrets of energy, how things work, like what, you know, back in Nikola Tesla's time, he seemed like a magician almost because of his ability to tap into energy. But now we're scrolling through social media and we're learning about the power of 369 and what Nikola Tesla was doing. That's proof of an ascending energy because at the peak of a golden age, everybody understands the secrets of energy. Everybody understands the information. There's nothing hidden. It's very transparent, which allows people to tap fully into the power of themselves. I mean, we're learning now about how sound frequencies heal the body, that you don't need to go through all these really intense treatments to heal the body. You actually just need to understand the harmonics of the body. And they're showing that's already out in the public. So we are ascending. When we're moving into a descension cycle, like for example, after ancient Egypt, the first things that happened were the priest class moved sacred information and texts into their sphere, right? There became gatekeepers to the information because this is really important knowledge and only people who really respect or understand the text should have access to it. So you see how it gets slowly pulled away from the public until, you know, we reach that lowest point in which basically we're in the dark. we don't know what we don't know, and we don't even know that we don't know.
Right.
And that's the lowest part of a cycle. But you called it, absolutely. And it's going to go around again. You know, after this ascension cycle, eventually there is a descension all the way back through to another ascension cycle.
Well, I don't know, you know, if we'll be here for the descension, but we're here for the ascension.
We're here for the ascension. Yes, I agree. We both need to get off planet Earth before we have to watch that.
Exactly. So, okay. We established, yes, you're a psychic medium, but you are a channel. And I do want to talk about this because if you're like me, and I do not spend all my time doing this, but I do this occasionally, I do kind of like peruse through YouTube and see, you know, what's going on in the community, if you will.
Yeah.
And again, it, you know, similarly to having a lot of information available in terms of like, you know, book knowledge, there's information available from direct communication, you know, through channeling certain types of beings and entities. And I really want to understand your relationship to just channeling, again, how that specific practice started, who you channel, and let's just start there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this has been an in and out process for me. I think my first channeling was as a kid. I remember specifically playing with fairies. I remember seeing them. I remember talking to them. My grandmother had these little gnome houses in her garden, and there were these like big trees, and she put these little houses there, and I thought it was so fun, but I remember seeing them. And so I used to talk to them all the time, like it was no big deal. And of course, as I got older, I stopped seeing them, and you think, okay, I made that up, but it was... I remember seeing it. I remember it very clearly. So there, that was sort of the first wave. The next was dreams. Dreams were a huge way for my team and other spirit guides to communicate with me. Because again, I was blocking myself because I had this belief around permission. I need someone to tell me, to validate that I do this. Otherwise, I don't believe I can. And so the way that it mostly came to me was through dreams and then through automatic writing, which was an easy way for me to get in. And so I was taught this by a very gifted psychic medium as well. And what she taught me was the dual-handed method. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Not the dual hand, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. So, and anybody listening, you can do this as well. Everybody can do this. But so I used a notebook, and what you do is you establish the intent with your dominant hand. And I always put a little phrase of protection, just saying that, you know, only beings of love and light can communicate with me. Just, you know, put the boundaries up. It's always good to have healthy boundaries, even with spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So then you just write down, okay, you know, this is Therese. I want to talk to my team in spirit. Can somebody come forward and, you know, say hi or something? And of course you switch. So then you switch the pen to your non-dominant hand. And here's why, because your non-dominant hand connects directly to your subconscious mind, which is the part of your mind that connects to spirit. So by putting it in your non-dominant hand, you just write the answer. And if you're anything like me and you're new to it, you're going to want the woo-woo effect. You're going to want to feel like stars and sparkles and a light comes down and you're like hearing the voices, and you're going to be so disappointed. Because it feels very mundane. It'll feel like you're talking to yourself. But when you're connecting with your team or a guide or a loving entity, you will get messages of encouragement. It will feel very gentle. There will be nothing demanded of you. And it's usually not going to be, you know, talking directly to Jesus or a saint or somebody like that. It's going to be low-key your team, right? It's going to be somebody very close and personal to you. And that's a good thing, actually, because a lot of negative entities, and I think, Dina, you've talked about this on your program, can impersonate.
Yes.
Right? They'll impersonate somebody really important because they're placating your ego and they want you to feel attached to them. So it's usually going to be pretty mundane, pretty much, I love you, you're doing great, hang in there, kind of talk. And the more specific your questions are, of course, the more specific the answers will be. But I found that that was a great way to strengthen contact and just gain a familiarity with my team. Now, for me, one of the things that turned on was clairaudience. So I would start hearing them out of the context of writing and like trying to tune in, because I think that's all I needed to do is start really deeply listening. Once you start doing that, then yeah, they pop in with a few statements. And again, this is when I'm not focused in channeling, what I'll get is like little nudges. They love to talk to me with songs, right? So I'm sure you get that too. But like, you'll get a song lyric stuck in your head, but just one line, and it'll be over and over and over again. And it's usually a message of that they're answering something that you're focused on, right?
Yeah.
When I started really allowing the channeling to come through, I would say that again is in 2006. And it started really with wanting to connect other people to higher energy. As soon as I got past myself and I started wanting to do something for someone else, and that required me, again, getting over my insecurity that what if I'm not doing it?
Yeah.
The need had to be greater than myself for my channeling to fully turn on. When that happened, then the experience, again, was it's a very familiar feeling. And this is where I would say you can absolutely channel to somebody who's listening and desires it. You have to trust yourself, because if you don't trust yourself or what you're getting, it's like you're weakening your Wi-Fi signal. It's like it's hard to get a strong message to you because it's getting corrupted by your own insecurity or lack of belief.
Yes, that's so. Yeah. It's a really good way of putting it. Like the signal is corrupted, and yeah. You really do. And you know, everybody, when they start off, they think, I'm making this up. It's just me. It's all in my head. I'm making this up every single time, right?
For sure.
It just takes practice and trust over and over and over again.
Yes. And I really do find when it's because I always say the universe loves BOGOs and twofers, meaning they love buy one, get one free or two for ones. So whenever your need or your desire goes beyond yourself, even if it's just for one other person, like let's say I was with Dina here and I wanted to channel for her, that supersedes something. Right now I'm doing it for a higher purpose than just my own needs. I'm trying to meet hers as well. Universe loves that. It's like, oh, let's give that more energy, right? Like, let's open the channel more for this being, because they're expanding and they're working for a higher purpose.
Right. So, okay. How did you, I guess I would like to ask, you worked with your team, but then yes, you also channel the Arcturian Council. So how did you make that jump from your team to all of a sudden? And I really can't even sit here and say that I know what they are. Of course, in my head, I'm like, oh, extraterrestrials. But how did you initiate this relationship, or how did this start?
Okay, so this is when I started getting into starseeds. When I heard the term starseeds, and I'm thinking this was probably back 2017 is when I really started hearing that term. And it was one of those things where I'm like, that makes sense. That's right. Like that term really landed for me. And I love anything to do with stars. So when I heard that, I'm just like, oh, this is the best. But what it got me to do is, of course, be curious, because it's just like any other sort of personality thing that's out there, whether it's Myers-Briggs or Enneagram. There's just a part, it's like, where am I from? Like, well, I want to know what this is about. And, you know, now that I've gone through that curiosity, I understand that that doesn't really matter so much, but it is natural curiosity. So of course I went back to automatic writing, because I was getting lots of information and I'm like, am I just pulling this out because that one sounds pretty, or somebody I like says they're that, and so I want to be that.
Yeah.
I need some information here.
Yeah.
And I got some information, and of course it was a little bit more obscure, and disappointing because, again, it wasn't so clear or so strong. Like, there's some people who are like, I know I'm Pleiadian. They just know it, or they feel Andromeda, right? And they're really connected to it. And I got a whole bunch of stuff. So what I ended up finding out is that I do work with the Arcturians. And yet I have gone around to a lot of planets, and I sort of work as like a international or intergalactic ambassador of sorts. I go and visit a lot of planets. I want information. I think I'm one of those people who just like, I want to absorb like a sponge and see what I can learn. So that's where it started. And I felt very confused by it. So they helped clarify, and I had some beings visit in a dream, and they were actually Syrian. And that was the first group that I worked with, were the Syrians, who I absolutely adore, have a lot of connection with them, and apparently hang out with them a lot. Got some kind of extended family situation going on there. And they came through first, and that felt very natural. Once that dream happened, then it was, again, another permission got unlocked. I'm like, okay, I've met you. We've talked. I know it's real. And now I can proceed with that. I did not expect to channel Arcturians. This is very recent. This happened, I think, at the end of last year. And again, I was doing a healing session with a wonderful healer friend of mine, and something clicked. And it was this thing stuck in my, I think it was in my mental body, about always needing permission before I expand myself. I'm always stopped by this. No one told me I could do this, so I'm not going to do it because no one said so. And I realized I had to say sort of F it. I give myself permission. And I cannot tell you, I got this visual in my head of my team. Someone was holding a clipboard and they went, check, thank you very much, we'll see you later. And I was like, okay. And I do a spirit circle every new moon and full moon. And so that evening just happened to be, I think there was a full moon spirit circle I was in. And usually what happens during those is we do go into a guided channeling, where I'll go in with, and my team will bring forward a message. And it's usually about something that we can heal or focus on, or they're taking us through a healing process. And then in this time, I remember I was calling in my team, calling in all my guides and protection and setting it up. And all of a sudden, right at the end, I hear the Arcturian Council is coming through. And I was like, wait, what? You know, but it was already coming in, and I could feel this. It was very different. It was a streaming of energy I felt coming through the top of my head. And I'm a conscious channel. I don't like to be unconscious. I'm very uncomfortable with that. So again, it was like I could feel myself stepping back, but I was there and listening and communicating with them. And I had them come through, and it was a very different experience. It sounded different. My words got very elongated and sort of monotone. They sound very scientific to me when they come through. I think they have a sense of humor, but you can't hear it. But if I unlocked, again, it's like it's like a canal, like the Panama Canal or something. Like, you have to unlock these different layers to get it to come through. So I want to share that with people, because in case you think it's supposed to be on and off like a light switch, some people may work like that, but that's not been my experience. Mine has been, when you're ready, that level will unlock to you. And so the Arcturian Council came through. I'm very interested in what's going on with Ascension Energy. And so that's what they wanted to talk about. And so they've been coming through now, predominantly at the spirit circles, although they told me that once I unlocked, they started working on me in my sleep. So have you ever done a quantum healing hypnosis session, the QHHT?
No, I have a friend who is all about QHHT, but I've never done it. Never.
Oh, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. I think you get some good stuff. Well, here's what I got. So there's the QHHT session, and I'm a level one practitioner now. I really love it, but it's in parts. And so your first part is you go through a specific past life. Second part is you get to find out why that life was shown to you. And then the third part, you get to connect to your higher self, or she calls it the subconscious, but it's your higher self comes through. So when I got to talk to my higher self, one of the things that they told me was that we try to upgrade you or put you through processes while you're conscious, but sometimes you're stubborn and you fight. So we just put you to sleep, which I was like, oh my God, you put me to sleep. But yes, I went through a period where I had a lot of naps because they would just put me to sleep, because that's the best, sometimes the best way for us to receive these upgrades is while we're sleeping. If you've also experienced a lot of sleepiness, especially the past few years, that's a big part of it, is they're just upgrading, doing upgrades on you while you relax, right? So yeah. The Arcturians were also working like that, where they initially made contact and then they would work on me while I was sleeping to help me open my channel more with them. So it's much smoother now when I talk to them, but it still sounds very different. Like, you know, when it's them and you can tell when it's me.
So what do the Arcturians want to talk about? What is usually okay. their topic of the day, or like, what's the trend and the information that they share?
Yeah. So they're very much about preparing us for the solar flash, or the, what they would call like your graduation or ascension, is where you make that quantum leap from this level of being to the next level. And they want to let us know what's going on, because we have a lot of biological changes happening in us at this time. We receive cellular updates constantly. And the more we get streamed, like right before we started this podcast, there was a moderate M-class solar flare happening. There was like a M6. Oh. So when we get these solar flares and when they start hitting the planet, we get a bunch of good radiation, but radiation and photonic energy. And what this does is it immediately affects you. It goes on in on the deeper level, and we are cellularly turning over from a carbon-based entity into a crystalline plasma-based entity, which is why you are here, why I'm here, why the select group of people on the planet are here. We are here not just for an ascension, which has happened before. We are here for a very unique, first time ever tried level of ascension, which is to not just ascend a soul, which happens all the time, but to ascend a soul in a body. And in order to do that, we're actually biologically changing us. We're shifting. We're moving back into higher levels of a biological state we used to have. So apparently humanity was gifted 12 strands of DNA, and then we were reduced to 2. That process is something I'm still trying to learn more about, but it has to do with like, hey, you guys weren't ready for the 12. Like, we're humanity as in a history, we're a very bellicose group of people. So the lessons we have to learn is how to get out of like being so angry and fighting with each other. We need to learn how to harmonize, where on other planets, they had different lessons. Ours is very much about how to be less aggressive and more cohesive with each other. So the 12 strand of DNA, we were reduced to 2, but we are already activating 3 and 4 strands now. Like the things they term junk DNA, not mm-hmm. junk. There's good stuff in there that's coming online. And so that's what the Arcturians are talking about, is what's happening to you on a cellular level. Recently, they talked about April 8th, because there's a lot of stuff out there about April 8th and this total mm-hmm. solar eclipse and yes. the new moon. There's so much stuff. And yeah. some of it is helpful and some of it is a little wow. So yeah. You know, whenever it gets too hyped up, I'm a kind of a contrarian. So whenever it gets too hyped up, I'm always like, I don't know if I believe that. Right. So I like to dig around, and I was kind of dismissing it, because also we've been told things about like big events that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it feels like a dud. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little bit date fatigued. You know, I'm like, it's just going to happen when it happens. Let's stop like hyping ourselves up.
Yeah.
And so I checked, I wanted to check in, and my ego was so sure they were going to be like, yeah, this is a nothing burger and don't worry. And instead they were like, no, it's important. I'm like, wait, what? So they said that April 8th does have an important energy, but it's not quite this mega event, as in it won't be the great solar flash, and it's not going to be some terrible, horrible thing. Instead, what they said is, we've been, you know, humanity is closely monitored by our galactic families because we are an experiment of sorts, and we're a very precious experiment. We are an experiment, and we're, like I said, about to go through a type of shift that's never been attempted before. So we are very closely monitored. And what they said is that the amount of solar energy we've been getting up until April 8th of this year is filtered, because too much could be like actual radiation, and they have no intention of us like getting cooked. And anyway, they want us to be very functional while we go through this. So we get the, you know, the ascension headaches or the flu-like symptoms or joint pain or really tired or really wired. It, you know, we go through that gamut. That's the normal symptoms they expect, but you can still function. You know, you could still go to work and you can still eat food. And that's what they want to see, is that we can tolerate the levels. April 8th, what they're saying is, now we're going to get unfiltered energy. So we're already getting dosed a lot, and it's going to keep increasing. They're monitoring us closely. Your galactic families are watching over you. You don't have to know who they are, so don't stress if you're like, but I don't know who my family is. They know who you are. They'll be watching over you and monitoring and helping adjust you if you need that. But we're going to get this uptick of energy. And they talked about how, if we can stay grounded, if we can stay focused on what we intend to experience, right? You are a big part of what you experience. It's not like we're forced to experience a situation. We actually align frequency-wise, right, to what we want to experience, to the timeline we want to be on. So they said, all you got to do is focus on that. As this energy streams in, if you're focusing in on what you want to align to, you're going to actually start feeling that kind of bliss energy we were talking about before, that I feel good. Like, I know scary, weird things are happening out there, but I can't shake that I'm okay. Like, I feel good. You know, I don't love what I'm seeing, but I feel good. So that's what they were talking about. Now, with this level of energy that's coming in, everyone will feel it. If you're not in alignment, if you're letting fear take over, if you are believing in the illusion that's being created for us, then what that energy can do is create intense anxiety, even to the point of paranoia. In an extremely low frequency case, there would be a lot of paranoia. So I think we're going to see, as we move forward, we're going to see some events that are going to make us go, you know, like, why are we having to go through that? But it's really important that we stay with the frequency that we're choosing, what that we're intending, and it will anchor us, and we will feel good. It'll almost be like, I'm watching a movie about what life is supposed to be like, but I'm not experiencing it. So we have a sort of, it's almost like we have a cognitive dissonance going on, but in a positive way, where you actually feel safe and protected while seeing some weird stuff. That makes sense.
Yes, definitely. And I would say, just kind of along those lines too, you know, in terms of this being a major shift on the planet that hasn't yet been attempted for good, if I want to use that word, or for ascensions, or for higher states of consciousness and evolution, would, you know, what we're kind of seeing play out right now before our eyes, there's a lot of chaos, destruction, you know, wars, you know. So some people might say, well, how is it that, you know, we're going, you know, to higher states of consciousness, yet we're seeing all these things happening in other regions that are, you know, really horrific.
Yeah. No, that it's a hard juxtaposition to watch, because it really does test your faith. And I do think that's part of it, actually, is, do you believe, or is this going to pull you in? Every soul has an important part to play. And I do believe that we have soul contracts about who we're going to be, where we're going to be, what purpose we're going to be there for. And so I do believe that, this is not to say I don't mourn for people who, you know, lose their life, but on a certain level, I absolutely trust their soul. So if that was their time to go, and if that was the way they're going, that there is something there that they were doing intentionally, and it's not an intentional punishment, but rather an intention. I'm here to teach you.
Yeah.
Why this is not the way to go, what it looks like when we allow these things to get in the way of basic human understanding, basic human connection, when we value this over that, right? This is what it looks like. And so it's hard. I think it's almost harder sometimes to be the one left behind, because I know that immediately those souls are moved into a place where they're not in pain, that they're whole, they're eternal, yeah. Right? They're with us, but they're much safer than we are, actually.
Yeah.
As we're left behind, we're the ones who have to figure out, oh my gosh, what did you just teach me? And what do I do? Like, how do I address that, you know, as I'm staying here on this planet? And so my whole thing, when my human self can't comprehend why we're going through what we're going through, I always return to, I trust the soul. I don't understand the choice, but I trust the soul. And I know that every human soul is connected to something very wise, and that they're not, nobody's cannon fodder, you know, nobody is, yeah. You know, something that's discardable, that not at all. I believe that sometimes some of the most tragic things, these people chose that, and they might be on an express path of growth because they chose a very hard, you know, life, or they chose to serve many people with one experience, and that experience might be how they pass, but it taught many people something. And so, you know, it's not, we sometimes look on this plane as whoever's got an easy looking life, you know, like they've got the material wealth they need, they've got the family that they love, you know, they've got a good job and stuff. And we go, man, they've got the best life. And it's actually the opposite. On the soul plane, that there are apparently souls lined up to get into bodies that have very difficult lives, because it's an express path to spiritual growth. You will go so much further and faster in a harder life. And yeah. So, you know, sometimes I kind of take solace in that. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm on an express path in this one way here, you know, because I've seen some stuff.
It's like your soul is ambitious.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it doesn't take away the pain or the suffering or the feeling of how wrong that is. But I know that this plane that we're on is, my team likens it to a very exclusive grad school that many souls are waiting to get into. And we've been picked. We're the class of, you know, this millennium, right? And so we've got what it takes to be here. We want to be here. We were selected. You had to have the right combination. And our graduating class, if you will, is a class of very strong souls. We are ready to endure some stuff. Just like I would say the souls who were in the class of like the world wars, you know, they were also very strong souls.
Yeah.
We've got what it takes, but we're not going to go down in smoke. We're going to go up in glory. But when you're at the end of a cycle, you are looking at the destruction of an old paradigm and the birth of a new paradigm at the same time. And birth is messy. You know, I mean, it's really, if you liken it to a baby being born, no matter what direction, whether it's a C-section or a natural birth, there is a period of time where it's bloody, right? I mean, it's not to be graphic, but it is messy. The person going through it is in intense pain. Like, you're ready to turn back and be like, no, I changed my mind. I don't want to do this. And then just on the other side of all of that mess and sometimes something that feels very destructive, something so beautiful, so pure, and so worth it, that you're willing to do it again. After one child, you're willing to go through that again because you know it is so worth it. It is so beautiful and it is so life-affirming and so fulfilling that you can't even, like, you wouldn't hesitate to say yes just from that emotional place, right?
Yeah.
So sure. I feel like that's the period we're in, and we're, according to what I get from my team and the Arcturians, is that we're in that birth canal. Okay. We're about to like birth the next step here. And so, yeah, it's going to look kind of chaotic and messy. And if we focus too much on that, just like if you were in labor and you focused on your pain, what are you going to expand? You're going to expand pain. If you focus on why we're going through this, it's because we are all intending to bring forward something better. We just haven't quite gotten ourselves as an act together. Once we get together, and it doesn't have to be every single soul, but a dominant amount of us get together and we overcome pettier things and get right into, we're here to grow. We're actually here to evolve and create a beautiful new experience. Then it happens.
Yes, it will happen. It is happening.
It will. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I affirm it.
Well, Therese, I'm so glad that you're here on the show. I had a really great time. And if people want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yes. Oh my. Okay. So there's lots of different resources. The best way to go is to use my link tree because it'll take you to everything. But let me tell you about a few exciting things that I have going on. So I am now on Insight Timer, the Insight Timer app, as a meditation teacher. And I've released a meditation series to help you increase your intuition, doing some of the things we talked about, like cultivating self-trust and overcoming self-doubt. So those are free and readily available right now on Insight Timer. Just look for Therese Tucker, or you can find me at Blythe_Starlight, which is my brand's name, Blythe Starlight. You can also go to blythestarlight.com. I do intuitive readings. I also do one-to-one mentoring. So I'm working with people it's a really tailored program based on what it is you want to grow. But I do work with people around intuition and how to develop that, as well as working intuitively with them in their business or personal life. So personal development as well. And there are so many other ways that you can find me. I'm going to have Dina on my podcast, which is called Modern Mystic Soul. And I can't wait for that. And YouTube, I do weekly readings on YouTube with my team called Karma Cards. And that's at Blythe Starlight, all one word. You can find me there.
And any promotions by chance?
Oh, man. So yes, there's an opportunity to get all five of those intuitive meditations now for free. If you sign up, go to my Linktree list, and I've left that with Dina so that she can share that with you. But you can get that for free, downloaded right to your phone, so you have access to it all of the time. And then we can talk about, if you want to work with me, you can always book a 15-minute call and we can get into it and kind of see what it is you're focusing on and how you'd like to grow and if I can assist you in doing that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Therese. And thank you for being on the show. And I look forward to our next conversation.
I am so excited to have you on my show as well. Thank you, Dina. This has been a real pleasure. And by the way, I just have to tell you, I love your podcast. You know which one really sticks with me? I remember listening to it, I think last year, but the one you did on seances was fascinating. You did such great work.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, everybody, please take care of yourselves until next week. All right. Bye-bye.